You remember last week we looked at the battle, but we haven't got to that yet. We looked at the story about King David and Goliath, and part of it we got done. We got up to the point where David came and asked, is there not a cause? And he was talking about, here's this great army of the Philistines on one side of a valley and the army of the of Israel on the other side of the valley, and nobody wants to go out and fight Goliath. The Philistines offered Goliath, if anybody could beat him, then the Philistines would serve Israel, but if Goliath beat whoever they sent out, then Israel had to serve the Philistines. And so back and forth and back and forth, and David finally said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason we should go out here and slay this giant? There are a couple of worldwide giants in our day and time right now that I want to just present a little bit about this morning before we get back into 1 Samuel 17, and that is this. It's a number. You may not know what that number is. Some of you might. Every year, 73 million babies are aborted in this world. 73 million. When that sinks in, finally, we say, man, what a changed world we could have, possibly, if some of those people had been allowed to live, but they weren't. And so, that's a giant, isn't it? And you know what we do here with this? With the Walk for Life and other times during the year when we're able to support the Women's Care Center, we are fighting that giant. One of the things that has happened, and most of it over the last 3 years or so, or some of it anyway, because of some of the things that are going on, in the United States, in 1996 it was a peak, I think about 1.6 million abortions a year. And finally, in 2020 is the last statistics I could find for the whole nation, but it's down to about 930,000, which is kind of a drop, a big drop. And all of that mostly because of women's care centers around the nation. But Roe v. Wade was struck down a year or so ago, and that eliminated it for a while. But if you'll notice on the screen that's up there on the, yeah, it's not very good. But you can see it's a map of the United States. And all the places in white, right here and up in here, are the states that have outlawed abortion. Thankfully, we are one of them. But unfortunately, the states that border those states, it has increased in those states. And so this state here and the blue states and these gray and states, it's gone up there because the people in the border states that have outlawed it go to the other states that haven't. And so there's all that going back and forth too. So it's still a problem and a giant problem in our country and particularly a giant problem around the world. And so that's one way that we're able to go out and meet this Goliath in a sense. And the Women's Care Center, of course, is on that battle line every day. And so that's why we support them. Not only are they, as the Lord said in his prayer, not only do they save unborn lives, they also share the gospel as often as they can. And so we support them because of these two reasons. And a good battlefield, isn't it, Janet? It is a battlefield, isn't it? Yeah. It's worth the battle, yes. And then, that's why I should put that screen up a little quicker. That's why we have the bottle time to bring some more funds to contribute to the fight that goes on there. And it's a spiritual fight now. It's not a physical fight where we're going out and slaying people, but it's a spiritual fight that ends up in saving lives, not only physical lives, but also for eternity as well. So we're glad to do that. The next slide is another battle that will just spin your head for you. if you can see all the green there, that's the world map, sort of. And all the green there is everywhere on our earth where homosexuality is legal. And you might think, well, is that a problem? It's another giant. Because that movement, which has a lot of other things in it besides just using the word homosexual, that other movement has is trying to take over different areas of life. And they have, too, by the way, to where probably if this, what I'm saying this morning, went out over the air, we'd probably get a lot of upset about it. But that's okay, because that's another one of the giants that we have to face in this life. And so we face them not with the sword and spear or anything like that, but we face them with the truth of the gospel. And so we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to speak out about some of the things that God calls some of the worst sins ever. Matter of fact, can you remember a couple cities that were destroyed because of that sin? Well, God's judgment is coming, and this is a large part of why, because of the 73 million a year of babies that are killed in the mother's womb, and the spread of the LGBTQ plus whatever letters they have. Now, we don't condemn the people. We have to love the people, you know that? God, didn't he say somewhere, love your enemies and things like that? But we do come against their legacies and their agenda to spread this kind of thinking and kind of lifestyle. And it gets worse than that, because our country is supporting the spread of abortion and transgenderism around the world. You know, things don't look good, I don't think. Although I'm having a good time. Y'all having a good time too? Yeah, I'm pretty good. Pretty peaceful, as a matter of fact. But can't we just say, is there not a cause? You know, isn't that what God wants to do? He wants us to have a cause, and his cause for us has been this. Is there not a cause? And our cause is that, God's glory. Well, those two things that I've mentioned, and there's, trust me, there's more than just those two things. Those are pretty big ones, though. The two things that I just mentioned are things that we need to exercise and promote God's glory, not those things. Now, we have a funny way of promoting God's glory. Did you know that? Not a funny way, but strange ways of doing that. And we have to get around some of those things and look over some of those things, maybe. But then we have to confront them, too. And I'm going to give you an example, and I don't know how your feelings are about this. I guess I'll find out later. But, you know, after big football games and things like that, which we just witnessed one this past Sunday, the players are always, or not always, but some of the players are giving, they give the glory to God. The two words that I'd like to say about that I can't say here, because the very players that did that spent the whole night in a bar getting drunk. I'm not sure their lives are giving glory to God, are you? Or even their football game, for that matter. And so we need to see that God is much bigger than some of these things. And when we give him the glory that's due his name, it's because he's holy and righteous. And I'm afraid people have forgotten that. Well, Paul said to the Corinthians, and this is one of our verses from last week, whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God. Now, that's a small statement. It's just part of a verse, because it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, give glory to God. That's a big statement for just a small verse, but that means our whole life and everything that we do and everything that we are. And we fail at it. But we don't have to. Anyway, let's go on. So there's a challenge. Remember, we looked at the challenge last week. Goliath was challenging the armies of Israel. Haven't you got a man that can come out here and fight me? Well, in our life, there are all kinds of challenges, and sometimes they're small challenges. Sometimes they're medium challenges. Sometimes they're large challenges that come and face us. You know, a small one might be, well, you know, I think I'll just stay in bed this Sunday morning. I really don't have to be there. I really don't have to bring my praise as a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus. I really don't have to do that. I'll just stay home. That might be the small little challenge we have to get out of bed and get ourselves all prepped up and present ourselves here. Or it might be some downright disgusting, great big, huge temptation that we have facing us, whatever it might be. There are always challenges. And then we saw the fear last week of the nation of Israel. The soldiers and the army were fearful. They thought they might die. And so they stayed where they were. They wouldn't send somebody. They wouldn't do anything. And sometimes when the challenges that we face, we're fearful. Maybe we'll fail. Maybe we'll be rejected. Maybe we'll be put down. Maybe we just want to stay comfortable instead of show courageous faith. And sometimes it needs to be courageous faith, not comfortable faith. There's been too much comfortable faith in the churches of our day. It needs to be courageous faith. And so we get that picture from David this morning, I think, as we go on and see some things. And so we'll go into the rest from last week. Verse 31, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul and sent for him. And he sent for him. That is the words David said. Is there not a cause? Don't we have a reason to go out and attack this guy? I've always wondered. Have you always wondered? I'm always wondering, why didn't the army just go get him? You know, send about five or six guys out and take him down. But they didn't. They were afraid. Because he was pretty big, wasn't he? 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And he was not the only giant that was in the that lived in the Philistines, or lived in Philistia and Gaza and other places there. He had brothers, by the way, probably. Relatives, at least, that were giants that we find in Scripture. And so Saul sent for David. And so then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, I want you to see some things here. You remember a couple weeks ago, we went through 3 weeks of looking at Jehoshaphat's battle and Jehoshaphat and what happened in that situation. It was a battle, but God handled it differently. And he's going to handle this battle differently too, because David is not commanded to go fight this Philistine. But he is compelled to do it. There's a difference between being commanded and being compelled. David was compelled because of what was going on and because who God is. And this giant Philistine Goliath was insulting the God of creation, the God of heaven, and the God of the Israelis, and the God of David. And so he says, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So sometimes we're commanded by God's word to do something, like gather together on Sunday morning. Did you know that was a command? And every time we don't do that, for whatever reason, we're violating that command. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, the writer of Hebrews said, as a manner of some is. But sometimes we're commanded different things from God's word just to do, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do. And sometimes we're compelled by the Holy Spirit to do something. It may be because we know God, because of his word, but we're compelled and we must do this. And a lot of that has to do with this right here. We're compelled to support a ministry that's fighting part of the battle for us. And so that way we're involved, we're compelled to do it, not necessarily commanded in a way, but because of who God is and because our respect for him, we're compelled. And so sometimes it's that way, and that's the way it was with David. He wasn't commanded to go do that, but he was compelled to do it. Look what he says in Psalm 27, verse 1, one of my favorite psalms in the Old Testament. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I wonder if that was David's attitude when he's facing this giant. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And so we come up against some of the battles of life, you know, and we get a little fearful or a little afraid. That verse became one of my verses back when I was battling with cancer, because the nurses that took care of me through 7 weeks of radiation wrote that on a paper that she gave to me on my last day. And I thought, well, I'll remember that verse ever since then. The Lord is the light of my life and my salvation. So, and Saul said to David, and here's what happens sometimes when we're compelled to do something, then somebody's going to come and say, you can't do that. That won't work. Look what Saul said to David. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. And David was 15 or 16 years old. For you are a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth. Which was true of Goliath. He was a warrior and had been. And so sometimes when you exhibit courageous faith to do something on God's behalf that you're compelled to do, there are those who will say, you can't do that. I can't think of the guy's name right off. I should remember it. Who started orphanages way back in the 19th century. Boy, I don't know why that name left me. Anyway, he decided he would fund his work of sharing the gospel and starting orphanages without asking for a dime. And I forget how many orphanages he established and the amount of money that he got for his work without ever asking for one penny. And people said, you can't do that. But he did. Same way when we're facing some task or some giant in our life or something that needs to be taken care of. We want to remember to give God the glory and remember to assess what we have in order to meet the challenge that's there. There may be other battles before you fight your giant. Look what David tells Saul. But David said to Saul, Saul said, you can't do that. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and attacked and killed it. Now, I'm not sure I'm going to take on a lion or a bear. How about you all? But that's some of the challenges that that a shepherd faced. And he was able to do that. And so one of the things that sometimes we don't know, that when you hear about a shepherd's rod, that's a picture of it right there, right here. It looks like a baseball bat almost, doesn't it? But sometimes he had to use that to protect the sheep, and that's probably what David used to bash in the bear's head or whatever he did to the bear or the lion. And then the staff, of course, is to walk with, but the hook there is to lift up sheep with. And to take care of them and do what he has to protect sheep. And so that's probably what he killed these attackers with, the rod. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, isn't that, that's David's compulsiveness, maybe. That's what compels him. This guy has attacked and defied the armies of the living God, the army of Israel. And then he says, Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go. And I don't think we get all the emphasis that Saul used there. Go, and the Lord be with you, maybe. Kind of like that, I think. Saul was not a very good king, and not a very faithful follower of what God said to do. So sometimes these things will come, and we need to be able to and prepared to handle the smaller battles before we go off and attack a giant. And God had already prepared David for this time. Matter of fact, out there somewhere back behind Bethlehem, when David was watching his father's sheep, he learned some of the skills that he would need to fight this battle. Sometimes, just in the ordinary things of life that we have to do, we learn some of the skills to fight the battles that come before us. If, in the ordinary things of life that we do, go to a job, work, travel, talk, play, whatever it might be, we learn that everything we do needs to glorify the one who gave his life for us. And when we learn that, and I think David learned that in the back pastures that he had for the sheep. So, you can't fight battles with somebody else's equipment. One of the things that's happened over the centuries, and probably over the last, I don't know, two or three centuries, in the church is they've paid somebody to fight their battles for them. Did you get that? I've looked over the years at the different qualifications that churches put out for pastors to do. Hardly anybody can meet all of them, ever. And in the beginning of the church, you know what happened? The people who were overseers chose people to do some of the serving work so that they could spend time in God's word and prayer. That was their goal. That was their emphasis. But now we have taxed preachers, pastors, with so much work to do that very few of them can spend the time that's needed to proclaim God's word to the flock. Fortunately, for me, I get to do that. One of the things that is the biggest blessing on my life is to be able to prepare a message for the church. I have to say, in the last few years, it's become one of the hardest things to do. My memory's not as good as it used to be. But it's been a blessing to do that. And not only that, but to present it to the church as we go as well. And so, but you can't fight the battles that are coming to you with other people's equipment. Look what happened to David. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. Now, if you'll remember, Saul was a big person himself. He wasn't 9 feet tall, but he was probably close to 7 feet tall because he was taller than anybody else when he was chosen as king. And so he was a big person. David is 15, 16 years old and probably a lot smaller than that. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Don't need all this stuff. Doesn't fit anyway. And so you can't go to battle with somebody else's equipment. God equips us for the battles that come. And God can do what we cannot do. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag and in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So this is all he took to fight the Philistine. Kind of a good picture of a sling right there. It's not like a slingshot like you think, something like that. It was like this, and this little circle right there on one end that you would put over your thumb, and you'd put whatever rock it was that you were going to throw, stone, in the little pouch there, and then you'd hold on to the other end of it, and you'd maybe wind it up or swing it back and swing it. And some people got so good at it that they could take people down at 100 yards with it, almost like shooting him with a shotgun or something, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, they got really good at it, and so David must have been really good at that. And this is kind of what he had, plus his staff as he went out. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. He had an armor bearer, Goliath did, somebody else with him that had the shield. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. That is, he had a red hair and a complexion like that, and he was good-looking, David was. So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. So he was challenging David. Can you imagine the picture? 9 foot 9 giant there, and David probably my height with this pretty short. He probably wasn't as heavy as I am, though, for my height. But anyway, there needs to be the right motivation if we're going to fight our battles. And so we'll see what David's motivation was here. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. David was compelled, because of his relationship with God, to defend God's glory. And I come, he says, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And so there has to be the right motivation to fight the battle. David didn't come to fight the battle so that he could brag about it, or so he could be puffed up about it, or even so he could get the reward that Saul offered, which was big. So there has to be the right motivation. And then there has to be the, let me get this to work faster. There needs to be the right reason to do it. Motivation and reason kind of go together, but there needs to be the commitment to fight the battle in the right way, the right motivation, the right reason. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Can you imagine that from a little pipsqueak here standing up to this 9-foot-tall giant? So I'm going to take your head from you. The rest of that verse says, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines. This is the whole other army of Philistines that were behind Goliath. I will give the whole camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. That was his reason. We should win our battles with that reason, that all the world would know that the Lord God Almighty is in the church. Not the building, not everything out here that calls itself a church, but in the church. That's our reason. That's our reason to be, actually. He goes on, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And so in our battles that come, they're not just our battles. David said before, this battle is the Lord's battle. Jehoshaphat heard that the battle will be the Lord's battle. He would fight for them, and he did. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says this. Zerubbabel is listed here as the one who went back from Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so we get kind of a little outline of how we are to live and how we are to fight the battles that come, or the enemies that come, or the challenges that come in this life. But then the question arises, is God supposed to do it, or am I supposed to do it? Have you ever got to thinking, like, if God's going to take care of everything, then I can just sit back. I should have had my rocking chair up here today, or my recliner, but then I'd go to sleep, so that wouldn't work for you. But do we just sit back in our rocking chairs and let God take care of everything? That's kind of the mindset of some people. But God doesn't work that way. Sure, he could take care of everything, but he doesn't mind for us to be in the process. We have to participate in some way, applying the victory that the Lord has already given to us. That's what David was doing. David won that battle with Goliath way before he ever got there. And we can win some of the battles that we face way before they ever come up, way before we ever know what they are. We just apply the victory that God has given already to the situation. That's why he equips us with abilities and brings the experiences to us so that we can use the abilities. If you want to experience God in your life, you have to join him in his work. We did a little study here years ago, 30 years ago almost, called Experiencing God. And the point of that whole thing was to join God in his work that he has for us to do. And there's general work that he has for us to do that everybody's responsible for, but each one of us are responsible for specific things that God gives us to do in specific assignments. So if you want to experience God in your life, you got to join him in his work and what he's doing. He's taken the gospel around the world. We can't go around the world, but we know people who do. All these ladies that the women are going to have here this in a couple weeks on Friday evening are missionary ladies that are going to go back to their countries and share the gospel in some form, in some fashion. And so we don't mind supporting them in some way. As a matter of fact, we do support a few of them at Papua New Guinea and the Philippines already. And so you have to have a reason to do these things. And then there needs to be the right results. You know, sometimes we want results that aren't what God wants, but we need to do and have the results that God has for us, not what we necessarily want, unless we want what he wants. And I think that's probably the specific definition of being a Christian, is wanting what God wants and doing what God wants. Verse 48, 1 Samuel 17. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Did you know something? He didn't stop down in the middle of the field and take time to pray. There wasn't no time to pray. We have to be prayed up and ready when the battle comes, before the battle comes. Because all we can do sometimes is just charge forward or retreat. David was ready. Everyone else thought Goliath was so big, we can't beat him. David thought Goliath was so big, I can't miss him. It's a good target. Verse 49. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Now, sometimes you have to participate in the work that God is doing. And David was able to participate in the work that God had for him then. Sometimes, in Jehoshaphat's case, back in Chronicles, it's the word that is sung. Remember that? They didn't have to fight at all. All they had to do was go out and sing praises to God. And while they were singing praises to God, God destroyed the enemy. Sometimes, and I wrote this down, I'm going to get a face from over here when I say these words. Sometimes it's the word slung. Sometimes it's the word sung. Sometimes it's the word slung. And David slung a stone right into Goliath's forehead, didn't he? Well, sometimes we have to approach people with the word and not such a dainty little matter that I don't want to upset you or cause you any pain. Sometimes the word spoken truthfully and with God's love causes pain. Did you know that? People don't want to change their lifestyles, not even Christians. And so sometimes the word has to be slung out in a way that will reach their heart. Sometimes it needs to be proclaimed, taught, preached, somehow to encourage people to know Jesus Christ, to trust him, and to make him the aim of their life. God has equipped you to apply the victory that he's won already And everyone is part of that. Everyone has a position to take. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. He didn't do it with a sword. He did it with a sling, but he really did it with the word of God behind him, and the glory of God as his motivation. Verse 51, this is a hard verse. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, the Philistine's sword, drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. They started running away from the battle, away from what David might do to them. Sometimes the outcome is a little inspiration. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. There are two results that happened that are right. The right result, of course, was the challenger coming against God in Israel was dead. Did you know the challenger coming against the church has already died? He just doesn't know it yet. Satan was completely defeated at the cross. And that'll be applied to him later when he is thrown into the lake of fire. The victory is already won. We just need to apply it to the situations with the assignments and the equipment that God has given us to do that with. And so there are two results, victory and inspiration. You know what happens when we all use what God has given us to live and to battle? That other people are inspired to do what they should do too. The Israelites should have went after the Philistines to begin with, but they were afraid. But because one person was moved to take care of the problem, they were inspired to go and run after the Philistines, which they did, and defeated them completely at that time. Well, there has to be a right reason. You've got to have a right reason. You want God to be honored. There has to be the right motivation, the right compulsion behind us, the right conviction behind us, the right commitment behind us to go do it. And then, of course, there has to come the right result, that we stand in the victory that God has given to us in Christ. Now, I've simplified it so it would fit into 45 minutes or so. And it's a lot larger than that. Of course, you know that. And so we've looked at the time how God worked through Jehoshaphat and the armies of Judea. And now we've looked through how God worked through Israel and David and winning the battle. And so there are a lot of other ones. We're going to take a look at over the next couple weeks and see that God works through us to accomplish his will and his purposes when we yield ourselves to him. Father, we pray that even today we might yield even more of our lives to you so that every area might be given over to you for the glory that is yours and not ours. May our life be surrounded, Father, by your glory. In Jesus' name and amen.